Well, for just joining us this week, we are in a series, in our second week of our series called A Simple Christmas. And I don't know about you, but by this time of year, when we were dreaming up this series idea, it was almost laughable to think about those words going together, simple and Christmas. Because for most of us, a lot of times our Christmas plans and all the things that have to be done start to get more and more complicated. But what we're doing in this series is we're kind of taking the wrapping paper and the tinsel off of Christmas and wanting to help you to experience the nativity scene in a fresh and new way. I know for me, I grew up hearing about Jesus and this Christmas story, and maybe if you grew up in church, this may be a new story for you, but maybe for you, this is something you've heard over and over and over, year after year. And my hope this Christmas is just as the wise men encountered Jesus for the first time, and the shepherds and Mary and Joseph and all who were at the scene, my prayer for this series is maybe you would see what Jesus wants to offer you this Christmas and what Jesus wants to do in your heart through this nativity scene in a fresh and new way. And that's what we're kind of doing in this series, going through different things of what God might be saying to us. You know, I love this time of year, and I love all the lights that are out, and there's Christmas music playing in the malls, all sorts of things going on, the different food, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and just the anticipation that's in the air. I mean, it's awesome. But Christmas also has the busier side to it. For many of us, I know for our family, Christmas starts getting busier and busier. Sometimes the expectations of the season get more and more complicated, and still there's still more presents to buy, there's more parties to attend, there's more events to go to, there's sometimes added family pressure during the holidays, and things just seem to be far from simple sometimes. But I want you to know the very first Christmas was very different. It was very different from what we experience. In fact, there were no presents under the tree or carols or jingle bells, no Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer or anything like that. But when God chose to send his son into the world, hardly anyone was prepared for it. Now, they should have been, because everybody had heard, if you grew up in the Jewish tradition during Jesus' time, everybody had heard through the different prophets that God was going to send a Savior, a Messiah, into the world. And they waited for him and they longed for him. But nobody realized that God was going to say, now's the time, and it's going to happen in your lifetime. And so nobody was really prepared. So hopefully if you feel like you're not quite prepared for Christmas, I want you to know you're in good company with all those who are at the first Christmas scene. You know, the thing that's so interesting about Jesus is when he came, everybody expected him to come as this huge king who was powerful and ruled with an iron fist and with fanfare and parades. But it was so different than that. It was very quiet and uneventful when Jesus came into the world, when God chose to send his son. And so I think it's interesting that Jesus wasn't born in a hospital, in a large city. He didn't like show up like some of us do at Northside Hospital or some other place and take the hospital tour. I mean, his parents didn't take the hospital tour and all those things. You know, it was a very interesting thing, because he was born in this simple, seemingly inconsequential place called Bethlehem. If you were to look at most Roman Empire maps during that time, Bethlehem would not be on hardly any of the maps. It was a nowhere place, a place where nothing ever happened. Maybe you've been to those places before. It was a place where if you grew up there, you'd think, oh, I just got to get out of Bethlehem and get to the big city where something actually happens. And this was the place that God chose to send the Savior of the world and to announce his arrival to, in Bethlehem. And instead of laying the king of the world on a king-sized bed, when Mary and Joseph arrived on the scene, it was interesting, because a census had been taken of the entire Roman world. Caesar Augustus had issued this decree, and the entire this small town of Bethlehem had been completely bombarded by the huge crowd that had all come in. And you can imagine, I know one time we went to this hotel and everybody was snowed in on the interstate, and it was this nowhere town where nobody ever stayed, and you know, the lights on the signs didn't work real well and stuff like that. I can tell you that another time, it was a bad experience. You would never stay there. But they were packed out this one night, and it was probably the same feeling that all the inns in Bethlehem felt like. It was probably one of those things where they're thinking, we're making bank, Christmas has come early to us, praise God, hallelujah. But for Mary and Joseph, when God chose to send the Savior into the world, it happened during this Roman time when a Roman census was taking place. And Mary was 9 months pregnant, and they ride into town, and there's no place for them to stay except for this barn, this manger. Some people think that it's kind of carved out in a cave kind of place, where a place where they would take the animals, and Jesus was laid in a manger, a feeding trough, on top of some hay that was laid aside for the animals. It was simple. In fact, I think that there's a really big reason that God planned it that way. Why, of all places, would God not roll out the red carpet and all sorts of things for the King of the universe? I think it was simple because God didn't want anything to overshadow his simple purpose for Christmas. He didn't want us to miss it. That the whole point of Christmas isn't about a story about a baby. Now, we love babies, and I love how God came to us in such an accessible way. Because baby, when you see a baby, you just light up and you want to be around them. And Jesus, God chose to come into the world in that kind of way. But it's not a story of a baby. It's really the miracle of the incarnation. That means that God, who was in heaven, decided to step off of his throne in heaven to put on skin and to live among us. The miracle of Christmas is that God is with us. That's what Christmas is all about. And so when Jesus was born, I want you to think about this. For Mary and Joseph, they were the first people to lay eyes on God. That this isn't just the Son of God, and this isn't like an ambassador that the Father sent. This is God's Son, who is God in the flesh. And so when Mary and Joseph looked at the eyes of this baby Jesus, how weak and humble he was, they were looking at someone who all the power and all the fullness of God had been squeezed into. They were holding not only the Son of God, but God himself. Imagine how they felt. Imagine as parents, how overwhelmed they would have been. I mean, as a parent of two, when they tell you at the hospital, you get to take your kids home, you kind of feel like, are we really qualified for something like this? But especially somebody like Joseph and Mary, the King of the universe, here he is, and you're looking at him face to face. And then God the Father decided to send this angelic messenger to announce to the entire world that Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, was being sent into the world. And if you were to select somebody to be the one that was going to announce this, you know, who is this going to be announced to? Think about all the different people you could choose. This is an important thing. For all these centuries, here's who we've been talking about, and here he is. So maybe if you were to choose who the angel should go to announce Jesus is coming into the world, maybe you'd pick somebody like Caesar Augustus. Caesar was the most powerful ruler during that time. He was in charge of the Roman Empire. And if you got the news to Caesar, he had the infrastructure to be able to spread that to everybody. So it would make a lot of sense for God to go to Caesar and to say, hey, this King of the universe, this God of all creation, is God with us, is coming. And he could get the word out. Or maybe you would choose somebody like Annas. The high priest. The high priest was the most religious person during Jesus' time. He was the person that was in charge of all the other priests and all religious life. And so maybe God should choose to send the angel to the most religious people. But I want you to see who God goes to with this announcement that he's coming. It says this in Luke chapter 2 is where we're going to be reading today. And we'll start with verse 8 and go to verse 12 at first. And here's what happened. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Now, some translations say, the King James Version said, they were sore afraid. Now, if I saw an angel and I saw this thing happening, I imagine I'd be sore afraid too. And so here's what happens next. It says, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And so I want you to notice, God didn't choose the most powerful person, Caesar. God didn't choose to announce through the angel to the most religious person, Annas, the high priest. Instead, God comes to a bunch of humble shepherds who are out in a field alone. They were taking care of the animals alone. Not exactly what you would expect for the people that God would call. And so the shepherds, you need to know this about them. They were the people that everybody else in society forgot about. These are the people who were kind of the nobodies in society. These are the people who were poor and outcasts, and they spent their life caring for sheep. And if they were to kind of board a plane, they didn't have planes back then, but if they were to board a plane during Jesus' time, the shepherds, now, you know how they have priority boarding and all sorts of things. They, you know, first things, you have first class and they call you and it's kind of like a badge of honor. Like, yeah, that's me. You know, I'll take my seat. Or zone one, zone two, zone three, zone four. I'm always in zone four and I always feel like I'm like the worst of the pack, you know, and you get the last seat. And it's one of those things where the shepherds wouldn't have even gotten picked in any of the zones. They would have been the people who the flight attendant says, I'm sorry, sir, you need to go to you know, where the luggage goes and where they take the dogs. Like, that's where you go. Because that's kind of the people they were. They were kind of seen as animals in Jesus' society. They were the lowest. And so I want you to imagine the scene when the angel comes and announces this to him. The sky was really dark. It was really quiet. In fact, probably deafeningly quiet. The angels were caring for their sheep just like every other night. I love how that happens. Because in my life, I love how God works in times when I least expect it. In times it seems so normal. In times it seemed like just like every other night, just like every other Sunday. I love it how in the middle of those things, that's usually when God speaks the most. In fact, if I can tell you a little secret, when I was little, even in college, and I love coming here, but times for me, when I would think, oh, I really don't want to go to church right now. I'm really, really, really tired, or something like that, you know, when I was little. And every single time God taught me something, because I would show up in the times I didn't want to go, and that was the time that God spoke to me most. And it just shows that God is in the business of taking the thing that we think is ordinary, a normal day, an ordinary thing, doing the things we've always done, and God speaks to us and meets us in a very special way, if we're available for that. And so here the angels were, here the shepherds were, and it was just like every other night, and then out of nowhere, this light shines into the darkness. And it pierced through the dead of the night. And you can imagine their eyes had to refocus and they were probably scared to death. And an angel appeared to them, and that would have freaked me out. You know, the angel appeared to them and they probably had to hide their eyes and watch their hearts because they were probably in shock. And the angel came to them with this incredible announcement telling about what God was really about. And he said this, the angel said this, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. That's what this is about. I bring you good news of great joy that will cause great joy for all people. So why did God send the shepherds? Or why did God come and announce this to the shepherds? I think number one is because Jesus is the Savior for everyone. Jesus is the Savior for everyone. You know, it's one of those things where the shepherds had been told their whole life that it wasn't for them. You know, if God had come to the most powerful people or the most religious people, then the shepherds might have thought, well, that's for them, but it's not for me. And what God is trying to communicate is, look, no one's excluded in the economy of God. Everyone's invited to come and be part of what I want to do in their life. The Savior is good news for you. When the assumption is always like, nope, not for me. And I think people are like that in our spheres of influence as well. But when God chose the shepherds, God was communicating a very clear message to come to me because I come for you, every single one of you. Isn't that great news? It's great news. See, the invitation of Christ is for everybody. And so that's the first invitation for all of us at Christmas, to come and see. Come and see Jesus. And then that one angel, it's interesting, we're going to read it. That one angel was joined with a host of angels. I don't even know how many that is, but I imagine the skies just filling up, the heavens filling up with angels, and they started singing and praising God. And I bet you the shepherds went from scared to death to, wow, this sounds amazing, and wow, I can't believe I'm a part of this. And because God said that this is for, or the angel said that God is for everybody, that maybe it means that this is for me as well. Maybe I'm invited into this. And here's what happens next, verse 13. It says this, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, you just sang this, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace on those on whom his favor rests. See, God not only came to be with you this Christmas and every single day at Christmas, but God came to bring us peace. You know, not this absence of arguments, but to take our chaotic lives and to breathe his peace into the restlessness of our souls. God came to bring you peace, shalom, a complete wholeness of who we are because of who he is. And see, God, as we abide in God this Christmas, he not only wants to be with you, but he wants to give you peace. And so here's how it continues, verse 15, going to 20, and this is what happens next. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, first of all, let's stop there. That's crazy. There's one angel, then there's a ton of angels, and then they disappear, and they're probably blinking like, what did I just see? But they knew it to be so true that here's how they responded. The shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. See, there's two invitations that happen on Christmas, and it's the same invitation for you and me. The first one is this, to the shepherds, come and see. That's the invitation for all of us. Come and see. But then the next thing is to go and tell. Come and see, and then go and tell. That's what God wants for us this Christmas. Come and see, and then go and tell. Come and experience the Lord, and then go tell others about him as well. Because Jesus is the Savior for everyone, and we are the messengers to everyone. So here's what I want you to do this Christmas. We're talking, you know, we already talked about smartphone invites and all sorts of things. I want you to share Jesus with people this Christmas. Share Jesus with people. Now you may say, I don't know if I can do that. I don't even know what to say or anything like that. Never underestimate the power of come and see, of an invitation. The angel invited the shepherds, and they had to take a step and respond. But by that simple invitation, they walked in what they thought, maybe if we show up, maybe our expectations will get disappointed. But they showed up anyway, and they did their part, and God did his part. And then they did their part of inviting people, and everybody who heard it was amazed. They did their part, and God did his part. And so a thing that I love is that when something good happens in our lives, we all want to share about it. When something good happens, we want to share about it. Here's how I know that. Facebook. You think about this. When something happens in somebody's life, I'm at the Fox Theater tonight, or I'm doing this, you want to share that with people. People share that. We share good news all the time, and that's why the shepherd shared it, because it was really good news. But I'm a toddler, he's 2.5 years old, and it's one of those things where I've learned toddlers kind of change their favorite words. You know, it used to be yes and please, but now that he's 2.5, it's no and mine. And we were up in Tennessee this past weekend, and he was playing with some cousins that are, you know, around his age. And there was a lot of mine, no mine, no mine going on. And they would kind of take a toy, and they'd want to pull it back from the other person. And it's one of those things where they usually hate to share what they love most, because it usually means you're having to give it up. You've got to share it, and it means you don't get as much of it as they have. But that's not how Jesus wants us to respond to him in the church, because it's very different. Jesus isn't a scarce resource. Jesus isn't a scarce resource where if we share him with other people, then we get less of him. Or if we share his love with other people, then we get less love. That's not how it works. When we share Jesus with people, you saw how the shepherds left. They rejoiced and they praised God. In fact, because they came in, when they were invited to come and see. And then they went and told. I think that's one of the reasons that they were so overjoyed, because people responded to the good news. See, So once we found Jesus, the best thing we can do is to share Jesus with others. And so after the shepherds saw Jesus at the manger, they started telling everyone what they experienced. And it was probably like a grandmother trying to show pictures of their grandkids at the grocery store. You know, it's probably like, all right, already, you know, they were just so excited about what they saw, and they couldn't keep quiet about him. And I want you to think about this. They saw Jesus. They wanted to share him with everybody. Because as they looked in the face of God, they realized he wasn't judgmental. He wasn't fake. It wasn't this push you away kind of greeting like they experienced everywhere else in the world. I think when they looked into the face of Jesus, I think when they saw a love in his eyes that made them feel like they were truly home. I think when they looked into his eyes, I think they felt maybe for the first time in their life, when they hadn't belonged anywhere else, that maybe they really belonged. And I think that they saw a holy love that made them want to lay down their walls of reservation, all the different ways that they'd been burned by different experiences, and made them say, you know what, Jesus, I just want more of you. That's what good news is about, and that's what Jesus does. He draws people to him. And I think we don't know the rest of the story. We know they told some people on their way home and stuff like that, but I like to think, my guess would be they never stopped telling people about Jesus. For year after year after year, the shepherds are just a blip on the radar of the story of Christmas, and we don't know the rest of their life. But I can just imagine them old and gray in their rocking chairs, maybe barely able to move, and gathering their kids and their grandkids, and maybe as they roll themselves to the grocery store, they're sharing with everybody with the same awe and amazement they had on that first Christmas. The angel came to me, and the angel said to me, it's for everybody. You're invited. And I want to tell you about Jesus. I saw him with my own eyes. And you know, the thing is, wouldn't it be wonderful if God's people did the same thing? Wouldn't it be awesome if we started this Christmas and we never stopped sharing with people about Jesus? See, that's the role God wants us to play at Christmas this year. That's the way that you, as John the Baptist, prepared the way for Jesus. That's the way you can prepare the hearts of people before they come and experience what God wants to do in their life. See, the reason we want you to invite people, we talk about this a lot at church. Invite somebody. And it may seem like a broken record, but this is what we're put on this earth to do, to come and see and go and tell. Come and see Jesus and go and tell. Because we're not made to be just a bucket that where God pours in his blessing to us and we keep it all to ourselves and say, mine. God wants us to be more like a water hose that as God flows into our life, or like a fountain as God flows into our life, all of a sudden, we can't help but to share that with everybody else as well. And so God wants us to invite, I want you to invite people to our Christmas services this year. Not so that more people will just be here at worship and we can give everybody high fives and say, wasn't that cool? How many people were sitting in the seats? That's not why I want you to invite. I want you to invite a lot of people, a whole lot of people, because we want more people to hear the gospel. That's why. We want more people to hear the gospel and for more people to have an opportunity for God to transform their life. It's the Great Commission. That's why we want you to invite all the time. Not out of selfish motivation, but as I've experienced Jesus and I want you to as well. And you can't help it. You want to share about him. See, when you're convinced that God loves people and that people matter to God, you can't help but wanting to share them with other people. Sometimes you end up giving your life to it. Maybe not even as your career, but maybe you can be in the same career you've been in, but you look for every single day is no longer an ordinary day. You look for opportunities to share with people about what God might be doing in your life and how God might be at work in maybe theirs. Maybe working with ways of how you can invite somebody to church because you know if you do your part, that God will do his part and people's lives will be changed. And so you never know how God will use you. See, but you may think when you hear something like this about inviting people and stuff like that, well, that person, they know that I go to church, and if they're interested, they'll let me know. That's not the way most people work. Here's why. Most people are actually more like the shepherds than you realize. Most people are a lot more like the shepherds because most people assume that this Jesus stuff, this church stuff, isn't really for them. Now, sure, you know, we got an invitation in the mail, or yeah, sure, you gave me a ticket, but I don't know if this is for me. Or maybe the stuff at the fountain, people assume that it's only for people at the fountain and not for them. But and that's the thing, we tend to kind of erase ourselves from the picture. But that's why God wants us to go to people specifically and invite them to come and see. Come and see for themselves because you're invited. So I want you to check out how the shepherds responded. Notice how they responded, or the people responded to the shepherd's message. It says in verse 18, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said. See, people want to respond to the message of Christ. People want to hear good news. And people are waiting on our invitation. That's our part. That's a part God wants us to play. And so I want you to, this week and in the next week and a half, I want you to be praying about who God might put on your heart to invite. And this is more about, this is not about the fountain getting more people here. This is about people hearing the gospel. So pray about who you might invite, and then invite someone to one of our Christmas services or something else. And that may be the invitation that prompts their heart to get connected with God or even connected through a church. Because you never know what God will do. You never know what God will do with a simple invitation for people to come and see. Let me pray for us. God, we thank you so much for the invitation that you give to all of us to come and see. God, we thank you that as we look into the manger scene, as we think of all the different people who you called and all the different people you worked in their lives at the first Christmas, I thank you that we're invited into the story as well, all of us. And God, I thank you for the incredible statement from the angel that said, this is good news of great joy for all people, that no matter how we exclude ourselves, maybe we look at our lives and say, well, it's not for me. I mean, I've done a lot of stuff in my life. It can't be for me. Or God, I'm not that religious. Maybe it's not for me. Or maybe I'm not this high in society. It's not for somebody like me. But we thank you that at Christmas, the call of Christ is, I came for you. And so God, I pray that you would allow us to be used by you this week. I pray for the people that you'd put on our hearts, that you placed on our hearts to maybe invite. Because we know the invitation of Christmas is not just to come and see and behold a baby, but also to go and tell. Help us to do that, God. Help us to invite and help us through your power, through your strength, that when we're weak, make us strong and allow us, God, to be used by you in ways that we've never seen before. And we ask this in Jesus' name.